blood and thunder and going in for tackles that you wouldn't normally go in for.
I try and like want to go in, like my wife's English, the kids are having, but I just can't.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.
We're going to turn our attention to the weekend's camogie, though. It ended up being a really interesting league final. They did have a proper league final where there was something on the line. I'm delighted to say Sarah Donovan is here with us to talk to us about this. Sarah, Kilkenny beat Galway in a game that seems to have lived up to the rivalry that these two teams have had in recent seasons, in that it was pretty close to the end. And is it fair to say these are the best teams in the country at the moment?
I think so. It was an incredible game to watch. I was in Croke Park. It was the first time, obviously, being back in Croke Park in over a year. The pitch was immaculate. So we were right down near the front, actually. And the margin for error from the players is so small on that amazing pitch. It was end-to-end, helter-skelter. It ended up being a point, you know, going into injury time, and Kilkenny just pulled clear.
So what was that actually like being in Croke Park then?
Weird. At one point during the first half, booming over the speakers was, "Please wear your masks." And everyone just started laughing. They were like, "What?" It felt like it was coming from the heavens. But a really, really positive experience. The stewards were brilliant. Cusack Stand was where everyone was sitting. Obviously, the players were over in the Hogan Stand. The sun was splitting the stones, so it was a real kind of championship feel to the game. And because of the intensity of the game, that added to the whole experience.
Yeah, I definitely feel like all of the league games this year in all of the championships matter far more than they have done. Maybe hurling is the one exception, because obviously Limerick are so far ahead of everybody, it seems. But it does feel like it's going to be very difficult for teams who aren't playing well at the moment in any of the championships to wrestle back some form in the next 2 weeks before everything starts properly.
It's been such a condensed season. We've had 8 weeks with our players, and you know, we played Kilkenny 4 weeks ago, and then Kilkenny were on the pitch last night playing for the big prize. It's very hard to kind of, as you said, claw back that intensity that you need, and that comes with being with teams from November right through to June, July, and building that momentum. So there will be kind of teams who will really enjoy the condensed period, and other teams will hate it.
And what's your fixture schedule like now in terms of the championship? When does it kick off?
So we finished up on Saturday with a win over Waterford. Waterford were relegated, unfortunately, but we survived, stopped the rot. And we have a month now to our championship. So our group is Cork, Waterford again, and down in group two. So we'll have three consecutive games from the 17th of July and try to get into a quarter final.
Okay. It's like the fact that there's three games, and it sounds like it's a reasonable format for the season that's in it.
It is. And look, there's 12 teams involved. Our group, I suppose, is not the group of death. The group of death very much looks like Galway, Kilkenny, Clare and Westmeath. Two teams come out of the group, obviously, and with both teams in Croke Park last night, you'd say Galway and Kilkenny would be the two teams that would automatically come out of group three. But look, I'm not writing off Clare or Westmeath, but I'm just saying, based on last night's performance, you couldn't, you know, see anything but that result.
So do you guys now taper off a little bit for the month, or how are you going to approach that month off?
Look, from our point of view, we had gone to Offaly, obviously, to play Waterford in a game that was incredibly important for us, because a Dublin team heading to Division 2 in a county where ladies football is so incredibly popular, it would have brought Dublin back, you know, years in terms of our development as a camogie county. So now we have to drive on, and we have to put the boot down and get into a quarter final, because we need Dublin Camogie to be popular. We need it to be successful, so that players at 16, 17, 18 are going, "I want to play Camogie. I don't want to play ladies football." As much as I love ladies football, you know, there's enough ladies footballers in the country. We need more Camogie players.
Is that a constant battle? Is there a sense that maybe in some of the more traditional Camogie areas that they're now just producing some of the best footballers in the county?
Absolutely. You know, and with the fact that the ladies football is constantly on the TV, it is a more attractive sport to play, and it's more visible. Whereas last night, you know, prime TV spot, 7:30 on RT2, and a game that really delivered, I think the more you show Camogie, the more interested players will be to play it. And that's why it was important for us to win on Saturday, so that players knew that next season we're going to be playing Kilkenny, Galway, Tipperary, Cork. And then those 16, 17, 18-year-olds decide that they want to play Camogie for us.
I thought it was interesting. It's an interesting time slot, Sunday evening, late. You know, it's innovative and it's flexible. And I know the various associations always come in for a lot of criticism, but credit where it's due, a 7:30 throw-in, that's pretty interesting.
I really enjoyed it. And I think, obviously, from, you know, travelling point of view, from Galway, from Kilkenny, they would have got back late last night, half 10, half 11. But you know what? I don't think anybody minds, because it was the new normal and it was great to be in that setting. So they took advantage of it and it worked. It paid off.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know the travel is a big issue for people who, after the match, they're winding down and they've all got to go to work today, as we know. But at the same time, if there's some way of making this possible, like, if they could take Sunday evenings and that be a Camogie thing, that'd be a massive breakthrough.
Look, it worked last night. And, you know, I think the game really delivered. The Denise Scull got a score on the sideline under the stand late on. You know, it's Henry Shefflin could have done it. You know, she scored 6 points. Steffi Fitzgerald came on late as a sub, scored another incredible point. These scores need to be on television. Niamh Kilkenny scored a goal. She travelled 50 yards with the ball. Needs to be on television. We need to see this. Players need to know what the standard is. So it's really important. And if that's the only window that we got yesterday and we took it and our players were available to do it, hats off to the Camogie Association. I rarely give them credit, and I'm delighted to be on the show today giving them credit.
The best part about it all, of course, was that there was just a few enough people in the stadium that you could still hear the shouts of the coaches. And when Aoife Doyle scores that goal, which is a cracker of a goal, you can hear, "Take her on, Aoife, take her on, Aoife, get out in front of her." And this is like the key thing. I think it's just proof that we need to mic up all the coaches at all times, yeah, in all facets of Gaelic games.
I wouldn't recommend it. I was having a fight with the fourth official on Saturday, and you really didn't want to know what I was saying.
Ah, we do. That's the thing. Yeah, it's great.
No.
Beep, beep, beep. Live beep button.
Yeah, it's interesting being on the sideline for these games, and then, you know, I suppose your language has to be so positive. So yeah, you're taking your life in your hands if you're miking us up on a Saturday. I think.
I wanted to ask one last question about new rules. Obviously, a bit more contact allowed and quick freeze inside the 45. What's the crack with that?
Yeah, it's brilliant. So if your defender is fouled, obviously when they're coming out with the ball and they're having the momentum, and, you know, it's a transition play, we're obviously trying to get the ball as quickly up the field to our forwards as we can, and you have a cynical half forward who decides to knock over a wing back and slow everything down, and defender can just get up and take the ball from their hand and strike the ball 40, 50 yards from their hand immediately. And that means then obviously that momentum that they lost is immediately given back. It's really, really positive. It's something that our backs have to kind of get into very quickly. And I noticed in the game the last day, there was 3 or 4 chances where they just got up after being barreled to the ground and whipped the ball down the field 40, 50 yards.
Because the tactical fouling by half forwards is one of the things, like, I don't know, maybe because we're seeing points scored from so far in hurling, there'll be less of it, but it's certainly one of the things that has been a bit of a blight in the game. If there's a turnover, you foul, everybody resets their defensive. It's interesting that Camogie's come up with a way of getting around that.
Really novel. And, you know, at one stage on Saturday, Orla Gray, I think, 50, 60 yards down on top of our corner forward, and we immediately have the impetus, and that's what's really attractive about it. So it's just about obviously getting players to click on, because it's such a new rule and it's been brought in so quickly and we've had such little time with them, that these are the small margins that are going to win championship games in the summer.
And the increased level of permissible contact, how's that playing out with the players?
Ooh, I think they're still getting used to it. I suppose the beauty of it is now is if you hear a slap or if you hear a hurley, the referee's not inclined to go for the whistle, because there is contact allowed, so he'll have a think about it. So you do get away with more, which is very attractive when you're playing such an aggressive style of Camogie as we're trying to play in Dublin.
All right. Well, look, I think it's all good for business. Great to have you with us, Sarah. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Thanks a million. Bye now.
Sarah Dunham giving us some updates on what's going on in the Camogie after Kilkenny won the league in front of a crowd of about 3,000 at Croker against Galway yesterday. And of course, Dublin beat Waterford in that relegation playoff by a point at the weekend as well, though Waterford were the favourites for that one.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.